Podcast. I'm Mom's Tracted Mama.
And I'm Flick.
And today we're talking about breast pumps.
Breast pumps. Yes. My favorite topic.
Why is it your favorite topic?
It's not.
Oh. Do you have bad experience with breast pumps?
No, not bad experiences. Just not a lot of experience. You definitely were the one who had all the great experiences with the breast pump. I had a lot of cleaning duties. Well, maybe I do have bad memories.
Yeah.
I was on cleaning duty. I was on, you know, bring it out, put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get it packed up every day for me, ready to go before work.
Starting to dislike this breast pump as we speak.
So we're talking about the breast pump. And not everybody thinks that they will need a breast pump. I mean, you think, okay, pretty much you're either going to formula feed or breastfeed, or you might start off doing one, like breastfeeding, and then have to end up doing formula feeding. But your mind doesn't automatically go towards, oh, I'm going to need a breast pump, unless you plan on going back to work. But that's not always the case.
Right.
Because there are some instances where maybe, well, I mean, the obvious, where if you are going to go on a date, you have to leave the baby with the babysitter. You have to take medication.
Yeah, that happened a couple times with us.
You have to pump before you take that medication so that the baby has food to eat while you're on the medication.
Yeah, you could do the pump and dump while you're on the medication.
Right. Which, that's one of the ones people probably wouldn't think about.
Right.
I mean, if your baby's exclusively breastfed, I think you need a breast pump. At least, you know, a single hand.
The hand suppressed ones.
Yeah, the hand pump. Yeah, at least, at the very least. So, we got our breast pump through insurance.
Which was nice.
Which was very nice. I had no idea that was even an option.
How did you even find out about that?
Pinterest.
Oh, of course.
I mean, what do you do when you're a pregnant first-time mom? You go to Pinterest.
Of course. Yeah.
So, and I think I was, like, looking on Pinterest for how to get free stuff.
That's right.
For, like,
I remember that.
First time moms or for babies or I was looking for anything and everything free that
of
I
course.
Could get. And I just happened to run across a breast pump. How to get a breast pump through your insurance for free.
Right.
So you have to follow, like, okay, so I went through, instead of calling my insurance company and going straight through them, I went through a medical equipment provider.
Sure.
And so I filled out a form. I think I had to call them. And I think you even have to give them, like, your doctor's name and phone number, and they have to contact your doctor to make sure you really are pregnant.
Sure.
And then it was so easy.
Yeah.
They contacted the insurance company. And then they were like, okay, it should be to you within this many weeks.
Yeah. Did you have to do it, like, a certain amount of time before birth?
Yeah, you can only do it, I'm not sure what the window is. It's either you have to wait until it's this many weeks before the baby's due,
mm-hmm.
or you have, like, it's either, like, you can't do it unless you only have, like, a month left.
Okay, so, like, 30 days.
Yeah, like, 30 days. That seems right.
Yeah.
But they all might be different.
I'm sure they are.
I don't
are.
Know.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they covered 100%. We didn't have to pay for anything for our breast pump.
Yeah. And they are expensive.
And it was a really nice, it was like a $250 breast pump.
Yeah.
I think.
What kind was it?
The Medela Advanced Double. So it was not just a single pump. It was the double pump,
right.
Which is really important. Come with a nice little carrying bag. It's all enclosed in this little case. One side is the pump and one side is the cooler with ice packs.
Came with ice packs.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the plug in to plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it came with storage containers as well. For...
Yeah, the milk. And you know, I think I'm saying Medela wrong. I don't know if it's Medela or Medela. So I'm throwing it out there. I'm probably saying it wrong. Along with every other baby product out there.
Why do they all have to have goofy names?
I don't know. But, so yeah, we got ours for free. Now, that doesn't always happen.
Right.
We know someone who called their insurance company, and they said, well, because of your insurance, it has to do with something. Okay, so by law, your insurance is required to cover at least a percentage of your, if you meet all requirements, you're a full-time breastfeeding mom, or you're a breastfeeding mom who's going to go back to work. Your insurance is required to cover at least a portion of your breast pump or breastfeeding supplies. Now, unless the company you work for was grandfathered into, and I haven't researched this a lot. I researched it enough at the time when I was looking it up for this person to know the reason why, but there's a caveat in there somewhere. Is that the right word? Caveat?
Yeah.
And this person wasn't able to get, I mean, they were only going to cover like $30. That's nothing.
No.
That's nothing.
And a $250 unit.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Or, and they're not all that expensive, but you want a good quality breast pump.
Right.
It's very important, which definitely, we'll talk about later. So there's other ways to get it though. If you, you can rent them. There are some different facilities. Sometimes the hospitals have some for you to rent. I'm not sure about like the Leche League. I don't know if they do that, but you can also get them through WIC. And I guess as long as you're not reusing the actual parts, if you're only using the pump system and you buy new parts for it, then you can use somebody else's.
Sure.
Yeah, you just don't want to reuse the parts, the tubing, the flange, the bottles. You don't want to reuse any of that stuff.
Well, and you wouldn't really want to even reuse it with yourself, between two babies, right? You'd probably want to get those replaced.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it goes through use.
I used it 3 times a day for...
Yeah.
I know you did it for almost a year, right? I mean,
yeah.
A year. So.
Almost. 9 months. Because I went back to... Well, but I pumped before I went back to work,
yeah,
too. So, yeah. Not 3 times a day, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you have different options for being able to get one at a discounted price or for free. And we'll put the link that I used to find our free pump on the blog. So we talked about reasons why you would need to pump. And I knew that I was going to have to pump to go back to work.
Right. Or when you went back to work.
Yeah, when I went back to work. Excuse me.
And that's common for a lot of women. You know, it's hard to live off one income anymore, so a lot of women have to go back to work.
Right.
A lot of women want to go back to work also.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's not everyone, you know, wants to be a stay-at-home mom all the time, which is respectable. I mean,
exactly.
But whatever the woman wants, of course.
I didn't have a choice. I didn't want to go back to work, but that's what I have to do for my family.
Right.
And so I pumped and pumped and pumped. Now, I was not smart in the beginning, and I've talked about this in other episodes, or I've talked about it, written about it in the blog, in previous blog entries.
Right.
I haven't talked about it yet. I started pumping early, like very early. Like I would feed and pump just to release pressure, but your body gets used to a certain amount of the baby eating, and your body produces milk for when it thinks the baby needs to eat. So if I'm feeding the baby plus pumping, my body's going to continue to produce that amount of milk. And so if baby Belle wasn't needing to eat as often as what my body needed to get rid of the milk, then I was getting very, very engorged.
Right.
And it was painful and it was messy, and I just didn't know what to do with all the milk that I had.
We tried heat packs, warm showers, I mean, nothing really.
Well, what I was doing, though, is I was just pumping to relieve the pressure, to relieve it, and I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand. Yeah. I didn't understand that it was just a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I was pumping to relieve the pressure, but then I was
creating pressure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it took a few, like you said, hot showers of me hand expressing milk down the drain.
Liquid gold.
I know. To get my body where it needed to be. So, warning, yes, you need to start stocking up, but wait until your body gets regulated before you start just pumping.
Right.
Or else you're going to be in trouble. So, yeah. So I had to pump to store up milk for going back to work so that baby Belle could have milk for the sitter.
Right. And we would do a combination of freezing and just storing in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, because we wanted her... Okay, so here's something else. And I've talked about this before, too. We... I mean, I just breastfed her. Mm-hmm. We didn't pump into a bottle to feed her with a bottle for the longest time until we decided, oh man, she's going to need to eat out of a bottle eventually. And I think the reason that we finally decided it is because I got sick and I had to be on medicine. And I had the medicine that I had to be on, there was no other options.
Right.
I had to pump and dump. I could not feed her while I was on this medicine. And so we had to bottle feed her some of the stored milk that we had.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a disaster.
Yeah, she was not happy.
She was not happy with the bottle. I think the flow of the bottle was not right. So we started off, what did we register for? What bottles? The Tommy Tippy. That's what we read. And we were doing a newborn number one, number zero, I don't know, yeah, whatever the lowest flow of bottle, of nipple for the bottle. And it just was not, she wasn't getting enough she was getting too much.
Yeah.
And so she was not drinking out of it. And I think I was able to feed her out of the bottle eventually. A little bit, but she would not take it from you at all.
No, she did not want to take it from
me. So then we went to the baby store, and we got this Medela, was it the Calma?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah, it was new, too,
when it just came out. Yeah, and it's supposed to be...
supposed to have the flow as if it was coming from the nipple.
Right. So, it was a special breastfeeding bottle. So we got this, and it seemed to work. She seemed to like it a lot better. The flow was better for her, and she would take the bottle from me.
And the thing about that one, too, is she has to suck to get milk, as opposed to the other one where it was just, you kind of, not really bite, but just press down on it. Compress it, and it comes out.
Right.
And that's how it's more like coming from a breast.
Yeah. So she took the bottle from me. But then she would not take it from you. And this was while I was sick. And so it was fine because I was here. But then we started thinking, when she goes to the babysitter, I'm not going to be there.
Right.
And so that's when I took to the internet, like I always do.
Probably Pinterest.
No, it wasn't on Pinterest. And I found that if we have something that smells like me while she's being fed by somebody else, that it would help her to feed better from a bottle.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's do it. Let's try that.
Worth a shot.
So we got this little blanket, and I love these blankets. We got this blanket before any of this happened. We got it at her dedication at church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a... Get one, give one blanket. And we have that link up on the blog. But it's just this really little rectangle. They're so cute. And they've got like the minky and they've got the silky, just different textures and patterns. And so I took that little bitty blanket and I slept with it every night for like a week.
Yeah.
And then we would drape it across your chest and you eventually were able to feed her, like, without any problems. I remember the first time she took the bottle from you without, like, you being super frustrated because she was just not happy. You were so excited.
Well, that is exciting. I mean, you were the one who was always fed her, you know?
And
I didn't have that daddy baby bell experience yet. And
it was a great bonding experience.
It was, absolutely. It actually kind of kickstarted the bonding experiences that kind of just, you know, they just kind of dominoed from there.
Yeah. I think that is so important. I think breastfeeding is a wonderful, magnificent thing. And I would highly advise anybody, if you can, to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a major breastfeeding advocate. I'm not against formula because everybody's different. Every baby's different.
Right.
But, I mean, give it your best shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, I think it's important for you to allow the dad to bond with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think there's many ways the daddy can bond, but I just think you being able to feed your child is just a wonderful experience.
Right. Well, and I mean, as a newborn, they don't need much. You know, I mean, they need a place to sleep and they need food
mm-hmm.
and change every now and then. Sure, you can change your baby, but you're really not, you don't really have that connection as a father right away, because especially if they're breastfeeding, because they don't need you all that much, except for protection, you know, all that good stuff. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it was just a huge moment for me
mm-hmm.
when I could feed her, and she would take it from me, and
she would look up at you, and
it's the best, it's the best.
So yeah, so we pumped so that you could bottle feed, so mm-hmm. she would have. So I went back to work, and I had to pump at work.
Yes. Twice a day at work, every day.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 or so months.
That was longer than 6 months.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was
9 months, because I went back to work after 3 months.
Yeah, that's true.
And I pumped almost up until she was one.
That's true. You did, yeah. Wow.
Because we started the whole milk at one.
That's true. We did, didn't we?
Yeah, so I had to pump at work, which at first I was very nervous about. My company is wonderful, and they provided us a room
mm-hmm.
in the HR department. Closed door, nice, spacious room. They had a little radio in there, a desk. They provided us with antibacterial wipes to wipe things down. There's a chair. It was a really comfortable environment. The door had a window, but they like taped it off. They put a lock on it. And it was, I mean, I felt very comfortable pumping in there. I was not, it was just, it was a nice, comfortable environment. So not everybody provides that. I'm not exactly sure what the laws are, but if your company tells you, they can't tell you, they have to provide something.
Right, they have to provide something.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, a private area for you to be able to pump. So if they tell you, I'm sorry, no, we can't do that, you need to look into the law, take it to them, and say, yes, you have to provide something for me.
And HR departments should know that.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't anticipate anyone ever being told that they don't have a place.
I'm sure it happens, though.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, I was pretty comfortable breastfeeding. I was comfortable pumping. And now I'm having to pump at work. I pump twice a day. I think I did 10 and 3, maybe. I think that's the time that I pumped.
Sounds about right.
So, we started off doing the bags, the milk storage bags.
Yeah, the storage debacles.
Yes, the storage debacles. And most pumps will come with an attachment that will attach to the milk storage bags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't want to spend the extra money on the milk storage bags that went with our pump.
Well, they were like $2 more expensive per box. I mean,
and that matters.
It absolutely does.
You go through a lot of those bags.
Yes, you do.
So I just pumped the bottles that come with it, mm-hmm. the pump. I would pump into the bottle, pour it into the bag. And the amount that I poured into the bag was based on how much she was eating
at the time.
At that time, per right. feeding. Because we did not want it to be frozen and then heated.
Because then you can't refreeze it.
Because then you can't refreeze it.
Well, that brings up a great point, too, about just storage.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Let me finish this.
Sure.
So, we did the milk, or we did the, from the breast to the bottle to the milk storage bag, heated up in the milk storage bag in a hot cup of water. Never, ever, ever microwave breast milk.
Right.
Ever. I don't care. Don't do it. Because then you can get hot spots mm-hmm. and the baby could get burnt. So just don't do it. So from the milk storage bag back into another bottle to the baby.
Sounds like a lot of chances.
That's a lot of transferring.
Yeah.
A lot of chances to spill that precious milk because yeah. every drop counts.
Absolutely.
I had to pump enough. I got to a point to where I was pumping for the next day because mm-hmm. we ran out of our stock.
Right.
And I had to pump for the next day. So if I did not produce enough, pump enough for that, she wouldn't have food for the next day.
Right.
It just wouldn't happen. Thankfully, I never got in that situation or else I would have had to stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing. So, okay. So we thought this is a lot of transferring. So let's go straight to the bag. So I would hold the bag around the collar of the breast pump and pump into that, and then that was just messy.
Right.
And then I would have to, like, stop the pump, and then it was hard to get the flow back going.
And you only have two hands.
Only two hands. So then I decided, okay, this isn't working, and we decided to go to these cups, and they almost look like a jelly, like a plastic... like jelly container. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Other people maybe do. Instead of putting jelly into like a mason jar, they make these plastic things.
Okay.
Plastic cups.
I'll just trust you there.
Just trust me. But they're Philips Avent breast milk storage cups. They're 6 ounce cups.
Uh-huh.
And these cups come with obviously a lid, a nice tightly sealed lid, but they also come with an attachment that will fit to your breast pump. And that would go from the breast to the cup, and you can heat it up in the cup and then to the bottle.
Perfect.
Which is perfect. We toyed around with the Kind system.
Yeah.
Where it would just go from the breast to the storage bag.
Which the bag, and then
hooked to the bottle. Then that snaps into the bottle. So there's absolutely no transferring there.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, that was just not cost effective
right.
because you can't reuse those bags.
And we had to introduce a new nipple at that point. And
yeah.
I mean, Belle is picky. As we talked about last time, she's a picky eater. She's, you know, she was picky with her,
right.
with her nipples as well.
Yeah. So we decided these cups were the best option for us. And we still use them to this day. You can wash them and we use them for our whole milk to send our whole milk in. There are a multitude of different types of milk storage. I mean, and depending on what pump you have, depending on what bottles you use, and we used, I mean, the ones that we talked about, we tried 3 or 4 more different systems in there in between somehow, but those seemed to work the best for us.
Yeah, for what we were needing and what
right.
we were using it for. Yeah.
Right. So I would pump during my 2 times. They, now I noticed, I was down there the other day, they have a refrigerator down there now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, in the pump room.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they didn't have that when I was, but it was fine. My milk would stay in the cooler, in my pump cooler with ice packs until I got home. I had no problem with the milk getting warm.
Right.
And then I would get home and we would prep for the next day, say, okay, we have enough. If we had any extra, we would freeze it. So really, the process was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have any problems at all with the process.
No, not at all.
So let's talk about, you mentioned storage, milk storage earlier.
Yeah, because I mean, there's of course different ways to store it.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Can, you know, milk will stay fine room temperature. You can put it in the refrigerator, you can freeze it. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it.
Yeah, and we'll put a link to a milk storage chart. But just to go over it, milk can stay room temperature for about 4 hours if it's 72 to 79 degrees. So you pump the milk and you have it in the bottle or whatever storage container you use. It can sit out. It doesn't have to be put in the fridge for about 4 hours.
And that's in a warmer room.
Warmer room. Yeah, let's say it's, and this chart just says 66 to 72 degrees. It can stay out a little bit longer. They say 6 to 10 hours. Personally, that worries me.
Right.
I mean, I honestly probably wouldn't go over 6 hours just for my own comfort.
Right.
But now you don't want to put that milk in the fridge, take it out, warm it up, put it back in the fridge.
Right.
You never, ever want to do that. You can keep milk in the refrigerator for up to 8 days. That's you pump it, you put it straight in the refrigerator.
For 8 days.
Not you put it in the freezer and then into the refrigerator. It's you pump it. This is fresh breast milk. You pump it and you put it in the refrigerator 8 days. Now, thawed breast milk can stay in the refrigerator for 24 hours.
So that's was frozen and now you're thawing it.
Pump it. You freeze it. You take it out and put it in the refrigerator to thaw it.
Uh-huh.
It can only stay in there for 24 hours.
Right.
Now, if you're going the refrigerator freezer, so just the freezer that's included in your refrigerator.
Right.
Milk can stay in there for 3 to 4 months. You don't want to refreeze that.
Right. So you don't want to freeze it, take it out, thaw it out, and then refreeze it.
Right.
Right.
Don't want to do that. Now if you have a deep freeze, your milk can stay in there for 12 months. So, I mean, it's a cooler environment.
Right.
You're not in it as often. So it can stay for longer.
Right. Less fluctuation of temperature.
And same thing, you don't want to thaw it out and then refreeze it.
Right.
So that's just an overview of the chart. Like I said, we will put that up on the blog. But going back to pumping at work, something that I specifically remember, I got to a point where Baby Belle wasn't nursing as much, and I was still needing to produce enough to make for her to have it the sitter the next day. But she wasn't nursing as much when I was with her, so I come to a point where I was having trouble producing what I needed to produce. So they say to look at pictures of your baby, to watch videos of your baby. Well, you would send me a Daddy and Baby Belle in the morning video. Because you would always take her to the sitter.
Right.
And so every morning, you and Baby Belle would record me a little video. And you knew what time I pumped. Mm. And you would send me the video for me to watch while I was pumping. And it really helped. It really did. So that was just something really sweet. So that's another way daddies can help out.
Yeah.
With the pumping process. Like, you probably had no idea that you could help me produce milk.
Not at all.
But you did. And you would always bring me water and make sure you have to stay hydrated. That's so important for milk production.
Yes.
Just one of the things.
Well, and I mean, it dehydrates you because, I mean, it's pulling liquid from your body. So, I mean, the process is dehydrating you. So it's definitely important to have a glass of water at all times with you when you're pumping.
Right. Exactly. So all in all, pumping at work was a good experience for me. Whenever I decided that I wasn't going to be pumping at work anymore, whenever we decided to transition her to whole milk, it was kind of a, I don't know, I was sad because this was something I wasn't going to be producing anymore for her.
Right.
I mean, I still nurse her. I still, she's 18 months old and I still nurse her every night before bed. We gradually cut out feedings.
Yeah.
We did the morning and night feedings and then now we just do the night feedings. So, but I don't know. It was just something that I was, it was, I felt really good about it. Like, I felt so successful that I was doing this and I was producing this for my child, and it was kind of a task for me. But at the same time, I didn't have to carry that pump around with me anymore. You didn't have to do the dishes every night.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to wash those parts every single day.
Yeah.
I'd rinse them after you use them, but you have to wash them in hot water, hot soapy water every night and get it ready for the next day. That's a task.
It's a big chore.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was a good experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so happy you did it. I mean, I'm in awe of you all the time anyway. But I mean, there's just one more thing
that
makes me fall in love with you a little more, because it's like, you're doing that. You did that for a whole year for our baby. I mean, that's a big commitment.
There's some ups and downs in it. I mean, all in all, I had a very, very easy breastfeeding, pumping experience. There were some times when I had some clogged ducts, when I would call you and like, it hurts so bad, I'm at work, my breast pads are soaked, or
I got a heating pad for you there at work, so you
yeah.
can try to get that clogged duct loose. And
yeah, eventually I got the Avent. They have like, they make specific heating cooling breast pad. They just fit right to your bra. So if you're at work and you have a clogged duct,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can put that in there and nobody knows that you're trying to fix a clogged duct. But yeah, there's some ups and downs, but I mean, all in all, it was a great experience.
Yeah. Like I said, it might be kind of weird to say I'm proud of you.
No, but I think that's really sweet.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I was very, very happy when I found out you were going to breastfeed, and then even happier and very proud whenever I watched you do it for so long.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pumping.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to get into our momstraction.
Yeah, I got an update from last week.
Last week I was momstracted about...
Picky eater.
She's still a picky eater.
Oh, she's always going to be a picky eater.
She's always... I was. She's doing better.
Yeah.
We found these potato spinach... I don't know what they are. We got them at Fresh Time.
Yeah.
But they're these little frozen potato spinach things. You tried them.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, she likes them.
Just some way to get vegetables in her.
Yeah, and they're like, their little shape, they're different shapes. I think they're, are they SpongeBob?
I think they are SpongeBob.
So yeah, they're almost like a shaped chicken nugget, but it's spinach and potato.
Yeah.
So we're getting some veggies in her that way, plus our smoothies, and we're continuing that.
She loves fruits, so that's easy.
That's easy. But this week...
What are you momstracted about this week?
She is so... When she... Her temper. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And when she's angry, she's angry. And she's angry right away. Usually I can divert her attention, but it's like instantly. If she wants something and we say, no, you can't have that, she's been hitting herself.
Like in the head.
In the head.
Or in the face, yeah.
Yeah, like smacking herself. Like she's just so angry and so mad at that moment that she just smacks herself. And she smacked us a couple of times.
Yeah.
Usually it's only once, and she knows right away that she's not supposed to do that.
Right.
But she's hitting herself. And I'm just like, I'm worried. And so...
Let me guess. You went to the internet.
I went to the internet. I'm like, is my child self-destructive? Is she going to grow up to be...
Anger issues.
Yeah. I'm just worried about it. Like, is this a sign of something bigger in the future?
Or is it something that she's maybe seen somebody else do?
Right. Maybe she's seen somebody else. You know, like, sometimes I, like, throw my hand up to my head and, like, oh, goodness. Like, I'm just frustrated. But we don't hit ourselves.
Right.
Obviously. And I don't foresee her... seeing that at the babysitter. I mean, it could happen. She's around younger kids.
Sure.
Kids do things. But then I read that this is just something kids do.
Yeah.
Toddlers, they're angry. They don't know how... They're still learning to verbalize their anger or their frustrations.
Right.
They don't know how to express to you that they're angry besides aggression.
Right.
And some of them just hit themselves.
Sounds like we have one of those.
Some of them hit other people or throw things or throw themselves. Which she does that too. But so what I've been trying to do is say very calmly, now we don't hit ourselves. Are you angry? And just like saying, I understand why you're angry. Like the other day, she wanted my phone. And I try not to let her play with my phone. And she wanted it. And I told her, no, you can't have it. And she started hitting herself. And so I tried very calmly to say, now, baby Belle, which I said, we don't hit ourselves. I know you're angry because you want my phone, but you can't have that right now. Let's play with your phone instead, or let's have a snack. And I'm trying to divert her attention to something else besides what's making her angry at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm also letting her know, I understand you're angry. I understand that you're frustrated. And I'm hoping...
Well, that's getting through to her?
I'm hoping that eventually it'll get through to her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still doing it. I feel like it's not as much, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also read that, like, parents who are at home, stay at home, the child's never at a babysitter, they do it, so, and they don't have siblings, so that where are they going to see it?
Right.
I mean, it's just instinct. It's just an instinct. So it's not something that they see from other kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope it stops.
I'm sure it will.
But I'm comforted in knowing that it's not a sign of bigger issues. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have a good update for next week.
I sure hope so.
So, going back to our pumping topic for this week, I just want to say we talked about a lot of legal issues, your workplace providing a place for you to pump. We talked about getting the pump through your insurance and then being required to cover a certain amount. We talked about we talked about a lot of different stuff.
Right.
That I am not a professional on.
Right.
And you aren't.
No, definitely not.
These are all just things that we've learned along the way, that we've researched. Like I said, I always go to the internet.
Just a well-read mama.
So you definitely have to do your research.
Right.
Just use us as a starting jumping off point.
Right.
I mean, that's what I did. I listened to other moms' podcasts and I read blogs and went here and there as a jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my research. So we are not professionals. Do your research.
It's easy as that.
It's easy as that. Besides that, I hope you guys enjoyed it this week. I enjoy talking about it. Do you enjoy talking about it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Breasts and breast pumping.
What better topic than breasts and breast pumping? We could have talked about it for another half hour to an hour if we wanted to.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Well, thanks for listening. Mom's Distracted.